Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Roy Grizzard, Assistant Secretary for Disability Employment Policy at the U.S. Department of Labor, and Jim Gibbons, CEO and President of National Industries for the Blind. Well, Jim, you were talking about doing business with the federal government. I'm curious, could you tell us some of the lessons learned?
I guess if I were to try to nutshell it for you, it's pretty simple. What I've learned is when you're dealing with this marketplace, there's no treading water. You've got to innovate, you've got to utilize technology, and you've got to perform. This administration is really driving performance management systems. And for organizations like ours to be successful and to grow employment and to grow business and to grow services to people who are blind, we've got to innovate, we've got to use technology, the use of technology, both in terms of enabling workstations. The technology that's available to me or to Roy or to potential employees or employees that exist in current workforces is fabulous. Both, Microsoft Office Suite is very accessible. We do innovative things in terms of we run a switchboard with the VA where we've used digital video technology to convert lights into audio sounds so that emergency situations can meet the specs required by that customer. The technology is out there. It's not that expensive. It's very usable. The government does, I think, an excellent job of supporting its employees. The challenge is to how do we get the broader community to have that basic belief in the capabilities of people who are blind. We have to continue innovating with in our situation with commercial partners, with small business. We've got great relationships with small business throughout the country. We've got great relationships with big business throughout the country. Our organizations do not have a strong competency in R&D, so we have to leverage other capabilities to do so. And treading water is not an option for what we do. So utilizing technology and innovating, and at the end of the day, everything we do is tied to the results of our efforts, whether that's in mission-related goals and objectives, growth in employment, growth in the types of in a broader scope of employment opportunities or business objectives in the sales and budget arena. Everything is linked to our performance management system, our balanced scorecard per se, and we have no choice but to continually accept that the bar is being raised because it's being raised by our federal customers because of the pressures that are being put on them by taxpayers, by Congress. And we accept those challenges because we know that as that bar is raised, we get stronger and better and we get more capabilities so that at the end of the day, the work that we do becomes sustainable employment.
Dr. Grizzard, earlier in our conversation, you talked about unemployment being at the 70% rate. That strikes me as high intuitively. I'm curious, how do you know it's 70%?
The fact is that we don't know precisely. We think it's in that 70% range. It could be a little bit higher, particularly for certain disabilities. It might be a little bit lower. It varies across the country. You know, the great American philosopher Yogi Berra once said that if you didn't know where you were going, you might not get there. And so what we're doing is currently trying to find out exactly where it is that we're going, what that target number is, so that we will be able to implement programs and policies that address the various permutations of disability. Therefore, we've entered into a project with the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Census Bureau and are currently field testing a better device for coming up with a more accurate number of what the unemployment rate is, what the various permutations of that rate is. In other words, gender, areas of the country, race, all of those types of items that might help to get a better handle on exactly what that number is, and therefore will help us as we develop policies to ameliorate whatever that number is. The bottom line is this, though. We know that it is an extremely high rate when compared with the employment rates of the rest of the American workforce.
Both of you have described the advances made in employing people with disabilities, but I'm curious from both your perspective, what are the biggest barriers still yet to be addressed? Maybe start with you first, Jim.
Well, I think that work that Dr. Grizzard and his department are doing in terms of really promoting and getting the country, the society, and the government to understand the capabilities of people with disabilities is very important, because I think that is one of the underlying kind of currents that takes place. Is people don't start off with that basic belief. They don't suspend this belief. In an interview, people think about if they're sitting across from a blind person, they're going to think, boy, could I do my job if I were blind? What they don't know is that that person's already gone through a great deal of experiences to develop their skills to be able to go do whatever they're interviewing for. So I think that that is one basic hurdle. For us in the across our network of associated agencies, we have continual challenges for our program, in that the Javits-Wegener Day Act is a fabulous enabling piece of legislation, but there are a lot of other pressures being baked into it in terms of procurement reform, gaining efficiencies, cost reduction, and we focus on growing employment. From a competitive perspective, people look to reduce employment, reduce their variable costs, and we're trying to grow that to create that social value, and I think it's a social economic value for the whole society. And so that's our challenge, given the constraints that we operate under. But I think we'll meet that challenge because we just build great business capabilities and operational capabilities to surround our very talented workforce.
Dr. Grizzard, barriers still to be addressed?
I think so. But I think that as we see, many barriers have fallen. But that doesn't mean that the job is over. We at ODEP look at a supply and a demand side to this equation of the employment of people with disabilities. From a standpoint of the supply side is looking at various techniques that will assist people with disabilities to be skill ready, ready to go to work, have the right attitude, be able to take advantage of various technologies and access technologies that are there available to them to go to work. So some of our grants are targeted to that. For instance, telework. Now notice I didn't say telemarketing. I said telework. The work is taken to the person. The person doesn't have to go to work. It avoids the barrier of transportation. That's just one small technique there. Then on the demand side, we're working with major corporations, both large Fortune 500s, as well as small businesses, to let them know on the demand side that their pool for potential employees just got larger. If we look at the demographics, in the next decade, by the end of this decade, there could be a tremendous gap between the number of people that are needed by companies to do their work and the potential supply of those individuals. We believe that that's a fertile field to be cultivated for people with disabilities. But the bottom line is this for businesses, is that it is good business for businesses to employ people with disabilities. Why? First, because people with disabilities have large sums of discretionary income, and they, their families and friends, are going to spend that money where they feel welcomed and where there's a disability-friendly atmosphere from that employer. Secondly, is that at the end of the day, those people with disabilities are going to be good, loyal employees, and they are going to help that business meet their corporate goals, their production goals, their customer service goals. And so it's good business from that standpoint. And then finally, is this. In this competitive and global market, a business cannot afford to overlook anyone and a person with a disability, because that individual might become that employee that helps them to develop the next iteration of product or service that will actually do much on the positive side of the bottom line for that business.
I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank you both for fitting us into your very busy schedules, but I want to give each of you a chance to perhaps refer a listener to someplace where they could learn more about your organizations. Let me start with you, Jim. Where would I go to learn more about NIB?
Well, to learn more about National Industries for the Blind, it's very easy. You can go to nib.org. Or if you want to learn more about the Javits-Wegener O'Day program from an even a broader perspective, you can go to jwod.gov.
And Dr. Grizzard, how would I learn more about many of the things you talked about this morning?
There are two websites to contact. First is the ODEP website itself. That's dol.gov/ODEP, O-D-E-P. And the other one is one that we manage and developed and brought online at the request of the president 1 year ago this month. And that is disabilityinfo.gov. Paul, that particular website has received 30 million hits in 12 months from over 160 countries. It is a comprehensive website of everything that you would want to know related to any disability issues, health, EEOC, education, even emergency preparedness. And that website is disabilityinfo, that's one word, disabilityinfo.gov.
Thank you, Dr. Grizzard. This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs, and you can also get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.